502-975, the Fanatic, Rob Motti with you for another couple hours till D takes over. We've been talking Sixers, try to have some conversation about the Fanatic's new look, some beautiful moments in sports. If you want to join the show, 610-632-0975. Now, I came on yesterday right after the Flyers win, Joe Stazak and I got right into it with some Flyer hockey and got some nice messages from people who were excited to talk Flyers hockey after the game yesterday, because you got a team that's on a roll. They're now 5 points out of first place because the Capitals beat the Pens today in the Metropolitan Division, a team that I think is further along than we thought they would be, but a man who does a fantastic job covering the Philadelphia Flyers for several years now for the Courier Post and Gannett, Dave Isaac. He's on the line. Dave joins us on a Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Dave, thanks for taking a few minutes, man. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
How many years now you've been at the Courier, Dave?
Coming up on 8 here.
8?
And you're a Courier alum yourself, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's where I kicked off my career in the late 90s as a senior at Rutgers Camden. I started out at the Courier Post as a high school girls soccer beat writer. And I had never watched soccer in my life till the first soccer, I guess you call it a match, right? Went out there and this is the first one I covered. I had to teach myself soccer. So yeah, man, I still live in South Jersey, so I have a soft spot in my heart for the Courier Post, and I appreciate you coming on, Dave. So yesterday we come on here, we're talking Flyers hockey. People are psyched up. The trade deadline is tomorrow. There's this team. Do you agree with my assessment, further along than we thought they would be? Obviously, you're a lot closer to the team than I am. I wasn't expecting them to be this close to first place in this division right near the trade deadline. So have they exceeded your expectations so far?
Yeah, I think in that sense, definitely. I thought that they would be kind of hovering around that playoff bubble, but where the standings are, everybody's so close. For them to be where they are in what's, when you look at the standings, the best division in the NHL, that's pretty impressive. And as you mentioned, 5 points out of first place, 3 points away from second place Pittsburgh. They're right in the thick of things with 20 games to go. And that's really as much as you could possibly ask of a roster that was really just hoping to get back to the playoffs, and a team that hasn't won around since 2012. They're in a very good spot right now. Absolutely.
What would you say is the biggest reason for their success to this date?
Coaching. Alain Vigneault has probably been, it's hard to quantify, but the coach has definitely been, in my estimation, the biggest difference in this team. How many players on the roster have taken a big step forward, how mentally mature they are. There are several games this season where you could say, you know, they had a lead and they lose it, the other team ties it, and in years past they would without a doubt have folded up and lost that game. And they seem unfazed by a lot of things this year. And I think that goes to the makeup of the coach and what he brings to the table, a guy who's been to the Stanley Cup Finals twice. And when you have a resume like that, it infiltrates into the roster and some of the players, even the more established guys like Jake Voracek, saying that one of the big differences of this team is if you're not up to task, Alain Vigneault will cut your ice time. And, you know, you talk about contracts and all these other things. The real currency is ice time. And if you have an established guy who's losing the ice time to a younger guy, a rookie, say Joel Farabee, a 19-year-old kid, that's motivation. And I think that's one of the biggest things that's kept the Flyers rolling this year.
When you have a guy like Alain Vigneault who's not afraid to call out some of the star players like he did earlier this year publicly a little bit, to just put them on notice, what do you think that does for the room?
Yeah, I think that it's also about putting his money where his mouth is. Uh-huh. Like I said, with him making good on that word and not just saying Jake Voracek has to be better, Claude Giroux has to be better, but dropping them down the lineup. And first of all, for him to come out and say those things, the players say that they don't mind because he'll tell the players first before he tells the media. It's a little bit shocking because you don't hear that kind of language in hockey very often, which it's all about team and you know, group stuff. So when you hear an individual called out, it sounds a little more dramatic. But if he's told the players that first, they don't seem to mind. And then again, when he's making good on that word and moving them down the lineup, that's where I think that motivation comes in. And the rest of the players look around and say, oh, this guy's for real. We all better, you know, kind of tie those skates up a little bit tighter and get moving here.
When you go onto the ice away from the coach and how much he's helped this team become successful, who do you look at and go has been maybe the biggest, most pleasant surprise for you this year?
Well, I think when you look at guys who have taken the best step forward, it's probably Travis Konecny. And you always saw the potential for there to be points there, for there to be goal scoring there. But in the past, in his first 3 years, he was kind of a risky player. He would turn the puck over quite a bit at his own blue line, at the opposing blue line, and sometimes the opponent would then have an odd man rush going the other way. But he's been so much less risky while keeping all of that offensive flair that the Flyers saw potential for. And he's got career numbers to this point, and like I said, 20 games to go, so he's only going to build on those totals. He got a new contract coming into the year, missed the first couple days of camp, so it was definitely a little bit of a bet on him to be able to do that, and he's answered the bell there.
We're talking to Dave Isaac. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave G. Isaac. He is the Flyers beat reporter for the Courier-Post in South Jersey. Dave, when you look at Carter Hart and the type of goalie he can be, and we know his home and away splits are significantly different, do they have a guy that they can ride into the playoffs and count on for all of the games? We saw Brian Elliott, and Tyler Julie just pointed this out to me, got to start against Columbus on the road. Or do you think that we will see two goalies possibly in the playoffs?
I think it's really hard to have a two-goalie system in the playoffs, but everybody talks about having one in the regular season. In this last little home stretch here, I think you've got to get closer to the point where you start riding one guy, and I think it's pretty clear that that person would be Carter Hart in this case. Definitely the future of the Flyers franchise between the pipes there. I think they have like five back-to-backs left, so there's definitely going to be some opportunity for Brian Elliott in there. But as you alluded to, those home and road splits, you've got to get him a little bit more comfortable on the road, and you can't just make Brian Elliott be your goaltender outside of Wells Fargo Center either. So I think Carter Hart's going to need a little bit more on his plate here in these last, whatever it is, 6 weeks or so, and you'll start to see him maybe a little bit more than in the earlier parts of the season when the Flyers and Alain Vigneault were trying to keep it kind of close to a 50-50 split.
The NHL trade deadline is tomorrow. Chuck Fletcher has made some significant moves prior to the season. Do you think he's going to make a splash, or do you think he's more inclined maybe to make a depth-type move, if anything at all, in the next several hours here?
Yeah, I think what they're looking for is help at center, and the difficulty for them right now is trying to forecast what's going to happen with Nolan Patrick, and if he can come back at some point this season. He's been on a pretty good track, but as you mentioned, 3 p.m. is the deadline tomorrow, so they kind of need to make a decision one way or the other. Now, Chuck Fletcher said the other day that Patrick isn't really affecting that decision-making as it relates to the trade deadline, so I still think that they're going to try and go out and get another piece at center, probably a depth guy. I mean, Sean Couturier is your number one center. Kevin Hayes is your number two center. That's pretty firmly cemented right now, but you look around the rest of the league and how injuries are just ravishing teams, I think it would be wise for Chuck Fletcher to go out and get another center. A few guys out there, John Gabriel Pageau in the Ottawa Senators is probably the best fit. Now, the belief is that he may sign an extension there in Ottawa. He's from Ottawa, hometown guy. He played his junior hockey there as well. That's one of those rebuilding teams where it's like, how much can you really turn over that roster? They need a few players to come back next year, so you would think he would be one of them. If he doesn't sign a contract extension by 3 p.m. tomorrow, I think he could be on the move. And the Flyers, I know, find a fit there. But they also have their limits in terms of what assets they're trying to give up. Like we mentioned, this is kind of a pleasant surprise year for them. They're not at the perennial contender status where they're willing to part with a first-round pick this year. I don't think Chuck Fletcher sees this team as being there yet. So that takes a guy like Chris Kreider out of the equation. That's part of the ask for him with the New York Rangers is a first-round pick. So don't even bother there. But if the Flyers can get Pageau for, I don't know, 2 second-round picks or second rounder and a prospect or something like that, I think that's definitely doable for this team.
What about the salary cap ramifications with Pedro making 3.1, I think, is his cap hit? Is there do they have to trade anything beyond just draft picks to get him?
Yeah, they would probably have to throw in a little bit extra there to get Ottawa to retain some of that salary.
Okay.
A lot of teams in the NHL are really tight up against it. I think there's 11 teams out of the 31 that are using long-term injured reserve, which allows them to go over the salary cap, and the Flyers are one of those teams right now. So, yeah, they may get into a situation here because they have a little over $2 million, just shy of $2.1 million to play with here. They might have to give up a little bit extra if they make a move just to get the other team to retain some salary there.
One more guy that we've heard a lot about in rumors, and I think it's a lot to do because of the familiarity. He's been here before, but he's got a big price tag, is Jeff Carter. Does that? I don't think it makes sense, but how do you feel about it?
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. In the sense that he could play center or wing, I think the Flyers would find a bit of attractiveness there. But the fact that he has another 2 years left on his contract that north of $5 million, I can't see Los Angeles eating salary for two seasons in addition to this one. And also, what's his effectiveness going to be even past this year? I don't see that being a real option for the Flyers unless they had some kind of sweetheart deal like Vinny LeCavalier had with when the Flyers traded him to Los Angeles where, okay, at the end of the season, you're going to retire. And by all accounts, it sounds like he doesn't want to leave Los Angeles anyway. And he's actually hurt at the moment and may not be available until Wednesday, whether that's a convenience or a coincidence, I'm not sure, but definitely another little wrinkle into this whole equation.
Well, Dave Isaac, great job, man. I appreciate it. You can follow him at Dave G. Isaac on Twitter. He covers the Flyers for the South Jersey Courier Post. Man, appreciate you taking a few minutes and giving us our Flyers fix this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rob. Take care.
You got it. That is Dave Isaac. He does a great job. 8 years now covering the Flyers for the Courier Post. Like I said in the beginning, that's where I started out. Started out at the Courier Post way back as a senior in college and began covering. You know, it was crazy. Like back then, I had no interest in doing high school sports. None. But you had to earn, you know, you had to work your way up the ladder. And now as I look back on it 20 plus years later, and I've been with the AP now going into my 21st year, sometimes when you deal with some of the professional athletes who may, and let's be honest, you know, one of the toughest things to do, especially as a guy who covers the NFL and Major League Baseball, in the NFL, not so much, but in Major League Baseball, there's a lot of downtime where you're just hanging out in a clubhouse and they don't want you in there. They don't. And I don't blame them. And it's just, it's part of the job. You have to be because you're waiting and there's a lot of waiting. And sometimes I just think back to when I began at the Courier Post 24 years ago. And I go, man, those kids, those coaches, they all were eager and excited to be interviewed. You didn't have to like call people and wait. Are they going to call me? Are they going to text me? No, they love that. That's part of the beauty of sports. And as I've been talking about the beauty of sports here today, looking at the moment last night with the Zamboni driver, how he got his first win, first action, made his NHL debut because of two Carolina goalies getting injured, and he gets in there, 42 years old, gets a W. It's beautiful. Sports can be so beautiful. Sports can hurt sometimes. That's the reality of life, but sports can be so beautiful. Sports can be such a blessing. If you have a beautiful sports moment to share with us, I want to hear from you. You just heard Dave Isaac break it down for you on the Flyers as they get... They're, now we are less than 22 hours away from the trade deadline. Will they make a move? He thinks they should add a center. You got a team here that is on a roll that could make some noise in the playoffs. They certainly could make some noise. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to pit one team against the other. I don't pit the Flyers and the Sixers. I think if you're listening to this station and this show and you're a Philadelphia sports fan, you're a Philly sports fan, and you ought to root for both teams and you ought to root for all teams. And of course, you have your favorites, and I get that. But I'm not going to say I want to see the Flyers succeed and not the Sixers, like some people sometimes get bent out of shape. No, why not root for as many championships as you can across the board? But today, as I sit here a day after the Sixers get smoked by the Milwaukee Bucks and there's concern over Ben Simmons' injury, man, I got a better feeling about the Flyers in the playoffs than I do the 76ers. Because I don't know what they can do without Ben Simmons. I don't think they're good enough to win a round in the playoffs. I think without Ben Simmons, if he's out for any lengthy period of time and worst case scenario out for the season, I think they're done. If you think otherwise, I haven't heard anyone else tell me otherwise. I haven't heard anyone today tell me you think they could win a round in the playoffs without Ben. Let's hope it doesn't get to that point. Certainly not. I want to see what this I was really excited about this final third of the season. With Ben, the way he played and Joel before the All-Star break, then coming out of it against the Nets the other night, Joel was dominant without Ben, but then last night was like a reality check against the Bucks. But I can't give you an honest assessment of this team because Ben Simmons wasn't on the floor. So 610-632-0975. Let's talk Sixers. Let's talk Flyers. Mo in Richboro, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Mo?
Hey, what's up, Rob? How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
Good, good. So I had 2 points with the Flyers. I've been hearing some rumors that Ilya Kovalchuk is being moved. Do you think that would be a good option to solidify that fourth line or third line wing?
Who'd you say?
Kovalchuk.
Is going to be
on like. Yeah, yeah. I've heard some rumors that he wants to be traded after being picked up
from Montreal.
Only making $700,000 on his salary.
What's he done this year? Let me find his stats. Nine goals, 13 assists in 39 games between the Kings and Montreal. You still think he's got, I mean, this is a guy who was a 40-50 goal scorer back in his prime. I don't know what he has left at 36 years old to make any impact, but he would give you a little bit more depth. You're right. He's only making $700,000.
Yeah, that's what I think. And plus, you can't take away that veteran leadership. I mean, he was a stud for all those years.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who's been there, who's done it, who's been a sniper, who's scored. He was a prolific scorer back in his day. You look at him from his rookie year through 2010 season, which ironically is the last time the Flyers went to the Cup Finals. It's a guy who averaged he scored 338 goals in that 9-year span. So he's a guy who was a prolific goal scorer. I would certainly take a look. I'm not sure what he has left. I'll be honest with you. I don't follow the Montreal Canadiens or Ilya Kovalchuk closely enough to tell you what he's got left. But you would think that Chuck Fletcher is going to do whatever he can to upgrade this team. As if you heard Dave just talk a few minutes ago, he doesn't think that the Flyers view themselves as a team that should give up a first-round pick, however, to go out and bring in anyone. It's not going to take a first-round pick for a guy like Ilya Kovalchuk, who at 36 years old is at the tail end of his career. That might take something much lower in the draft. I'm not sure, but why not? It's a good name.
Yep, exactly. And I got one more. I was listening to you yesterday. You were talking about the Miracle Game.
Yeah.
Like the best moment in U.S. sports. I don't know if anyone brought it up, but obviously the Miracle Game is number one to me. But number two, I wrestled in high school, unfortunately, for injury. Stopped from wrestling in college. But back in the day, there was a gentleman by the name of Rulon Gardner who beat Alexander Karelin, I believe is his last name. He's a Russian guy. This Russian guy was 887-0.
Wow.
And Rulon Gardner beat him in the Greco-Roman match. And I believe it was the Olympic finals back in the 80s or early 90s.
It wasn't that far back. It was in 2000. In 2004, yeah, he won the gold medal in 2000, beating, like you said, Alexander Karelin in the final in 2000.
Yep, that was the first time that man lost in international competition. And it was just a farm boy from Wyoming.
Man, well, it would take a guy who wrestled as a youngster like you to remember that one. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Rob. Have a good night.
You too. 610-632-0975. If you got a great, great sports moment like we had last night with the Zamboni driver, I gave you mine, the college softball, the girls carrying the opposing team carrying the batter around the bases after she hit a game-winning home run, first home run of her career, then tore her ACL as she got to first base. Yet they carried her around and made her touch every base. That's a beautiful moment. We've had a few others on this show. Tyler, I want to get yours before the show's over. A beautiful moment in sports. I want to hear that. Your thoughts on Ben Simmons' injury, what the Sixers will do. Now what? Their performance last night out of Joel Embiid after declaring himself the world's best player, greatest player in the world. Didn't look like it last night. He did against the Nets. And you just heard Dave Isaac break down all things Flyers. Your thoughts on the Fly guys, the Fly boys as they're rolling. 610-632-0975. Charles, hang on. I'll get to you next. You can join the show after him. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in to join the conversation on the Sixers, Ben Simmons injury. You want to talk Flyers? We just had Dave Isaac on to talk Flyers. Taking a look at what this team is, what this team can be, how far they can go. We're also taking your calls on some of the beautiful moments in sports. Some of the moments in sports that make you go, this is what it's all about. Right? Sports can hurt sometimes, but sports overall are a distraction from the daily grind. They're a blessing. They're a beautiful thing. What are some of the beautiful moments in sports for you? I just had a beautiful moment, Tyler, because so my daughters are six now. And apparently, they know how to text from mommy's phone.
So these kids are smart now, man. We didn't know how to do that.
Right? I wouldn't have known the first thing of it. Are you sitting with me? And she put her initials, ABM, which is Alexia Bella Motti, a unicorn emoji, a heart emoji, a puppy emoji. And then I look, and just to make it clear, that was Lexi texting to you. I'm like, oh, that's a beautiful moment. And then not to be outdone, her twin sister, Melina.
Well, of course.
She's going to have to, she goes, you are the best dad ever. And here's the beautiful thing. Grammatically correct, punctuation and spelling perfect. My first two texts from my daughter, I might have to get them their own phone. Just and if they hear me, they're going to hold me to it.
Hey, revel in this now while they're still young.
While they're sending me texts like this.
While they still want to talk to you.
Right? Because maybe 8 years from now, those texts are going to look a little different. I'm going to enjoy this as much as I can. Beautiful moments in sports. That's a beautiful moment in life. On the air, right before the last commercial, I get my first ever text from my daughters on my wife's phone. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. So love you, girls. Let's get to Charles in the Northeast. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Charles?
How you doing today, Rob?
Fantastic, buddy. How are you?
Good, Rob. Always great hearing you. Rob, it was, even though Carolina, we didn't want them to win last night. That was a great moment, though. I mean, you got to admit that. I mean, a guy coming in being a Zamboni driver.
Right.
Finishing off that. I mean, you don't get many moments. I mean, I don't want Carolina to win, obviously. The one to chase the Flyers. But it was a great moment. I admit that.
No doubt.
Rob, Bob, a couple quick things. First, about the Sixers. Listen, they got beat by the best team in basketball last night with the best player, the deepest team in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I got Milwaukee winning the whole thing, but I'll tell you this. I'm not giving up on the Sixers just because they're going to have to face Milwaukee in the second round. And the Sixers will get there. They'll take care of Miami. But by the way, Ben Simmons, I'm not bringing him back till I'm absolutely 100%. Because all the haters out there, the Mitch from Phoenixes of the world, or hate Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how the Sixers team is without him. They're not nearly as good without him, are they? So,
Charles, I said earlier in the show, and I am sure you'll agree with this, he is their most indispensable player.
Absolutely. He plays great defense. He rebounds. He takes the team's best player on defense. Even though people say about the jump shot, he still scores 18 to 20 points a game. They can't be without him. Now, I'm not saying they would have beat Milwaukee last night anyway. They
probably not. Them. No.
Milwaukee was on last night. But the thing is, what I'll say about Milwaukee is, I got them winning the whole thing, Rob, before I get to the Flyers real quick. But I'll tell you this. The Sixers aren't going to go quietly in a series against them. The Sixers, hey, Milwaukee's whipped us twice on their court. We whipped them here. We'll see what happens in a playoff series.
Yeah, they got them one more time in April, too.
Right. I think it's a great series. I would put Milwaukee to win in seven games, but I think the Sixers are going to give them a hell of a battle. Now, as for the Flyers...
Hang on, Charles. I love your positivity. I always do. My concern is if Ben is significantly injured. If he's out, all bets are off.
All bets are off. I agree, Rob. But I don't think it's that major. Hopefully not. If he's out, all bets are off, and they could go out in the first round against Miami. But as long as he's healthy, I think they'll beat Miami and they'll give Milwaukee a run for the money. Now, as for the Flyers, I love the way this team's coming together, Rob. I think they're going to make the playoffs, even though it's sort of bizarre. They're only 3 points, 5 points now from the top spot, but only 3 points from being out of the playoffs. That's how tough the division they're in.
Yeah, you're right.
But I think right now, the way the chemistry's going, I think Vigneault's done an incredible job. And the Chuck Fletcher signings, Kevin Hayes has been tremendous. There's only two things I would do. I would play Carter Hart most of the games down the stretch. So I think we need him to start playing well on the road, number one. Number two, I would make a signing, but like your guest just said, I would do a depth signing, somebody who can be another center, give us a little more scoring. But I don't think the Flyers need that much. I think right now, this team, I mean, I would rate them the third or fourth best team in this conference right now, Rob. I think the mixture of veterans and young players are really good right now.
Yeah, I agree with what Dave Isaac said. I don't see this team trading first round picks because they're still in that up and coming mode. Why would you want to do that? I would love to see what they can do as they're currently constructed with maybe one or two minor depth moves, not necessarily a big splash. And I kind of think that's where they're going to go. Charles, good stuff as always, man. Appreciate the call.
Have a good one, Rob.
Thank you. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the show. If you want to talk about the Flyers, we had some Flyers conversation. I know some people want to say that we don't talk enough Flyers. Well, here's your opportunity. We had a Flyers guest on, beat reporter, covers the Flyers, does a great job. He broke it down. You look at this team, you give the number one props for their success right now to the coach, Alain Vigneault. Tyler, you mentioned this the other night, and I agree with you. You got to really give him serious consideration for NHL Coach of the Year. Now, of course, we got to go, 20 more games and see how it shakes out if they actually do get in. But they get into the postseason. You got to look at him as a serious candidate for NHL Coach of the Year. And you look at some of the guys on this team, how they're playing, the resilience that Dave talked about. A lot of resilience. You look at the other night, Thursday night against Columbus, down 3-1, and they storm back to win that game in overtime. It was huge. It was a big time win. Get another win yesterday against the Winnipeg Jets, and here you go. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're on a roll. They've won three games in a row. We got the NHL's trade deadline tomorrow at 3 p.m., and we'll find out what Chuck Fletcher does. But I don't think there's going to be outrage. Like, when the Phillies didn't make a move at the trade deadline, I completely understood it. Because Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail did not want to deal prospects at a time when they thought their team was not one or two players away. And they weren't. It was a 500 baseball team. So there was outrage over it. And I didn't quite agree with the outrage, because I thought, I certainly didn't agree with it, because I thought this team's not going anywhere. A few minor moves, the Corey Dickerson move, the Jason Vargas move, whatever, those little moves they made, they weren't going to be a World Series team, and it wasn't worth risking trading away your top prospects. But this team, the Flyers, I don't think there will be outrage if they don't make a big deal. I think people recognize that this is a team that's on the rise, that they're young, they're exciting, they're entertaining. And as they look right now, they could make some noise in the postseason without having to make a big splash. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Robert, how are you?
What's up, man? So yesterday you make the Rod Brindamore comparison, and guess who I see on TV last night? Yeah, Rod Brindamore talking about the goalie. How about that?
That was great. Did you see the expression on his face
when
the goalie let up two quick goals? He just put his head down and shook his head. But very symptomatic of the Chicago Blackhawks, who Quenneville put a similar situation. Put a goalie in.
Scott Foster was his name.
Yeah. Yes. Robert, I want to bring some truth to the table, okay? We love the Sixers. They're unbeatable at home. They're an all-star team on paper. Flyers unbeatable at home. You know, up and coming. Probably going to have to win some big series to achieve stardom. You know, Phillies are getting better with a real manager and some pitchers. But the only true, and the Eagles are the only team of the here and now. Rob, they left two Super Bowls on the table, okay, for various reasons. They have, I'm sorry, Bill Belichick, they have the best coach in football.
Dave, don't get carried away. I love Doug Peterson. He's not better than Bill Belichick. But go ahead.
Here we go. Belichick,
one. Six Super Bowls, Dave.
Rob, do you realize how bad the Russell Wilson never gave his chance a team to win at Green Bay? Rodgers never gave his chance a team to win with the 49ers at San Fran. You think a healthy Carson and Doug Peterson would have turned in those abysmal performances?
Oh, they could have won. They could have. You're not going to get me to say Carson Wentz, after what he did to carry this team into the postseason, couldn't get the job done. I was all on board. I thought, hey, if had he stayed healthy against Seattle, they win that game, and then who knows? They had already beat Green Bay. But I don't want to get carried away, Dave. Come on.
Here are your coaches. Belichick, number one. Dougie Pete, number two. Rabel, number three. And Andy Reid, by the grace of God, I'll let him be in there, number four. What do you think going forward with Carson? First of all, you got to draft or at least get offensive linemen in here so he takes 7 sacks a year like Brady. And furthermore, the defense letting up plays of 40 yards or more was... Oh, let me ask you a quick question before you go. Is Omar Vizquel in the Hall of Fame?
No, not yet. No, I haven't voted for him yet, Dave. He's somebody I would look at some point, but we got the max rule of 10, and I haven't been able to fit him on my ballot. I'll get to you. I'll answer your Carson question, too. All right, man, I appreciate the call, as always. Love that positivity you bring to the table every time. Have a good one. He's always bringing the positivity. Always. He's always got it. What do I think of Carson Wentz? I see a Super Bowl MVP in his future. I don't know when, but I see that. I see Super Bowl MVP in his future at some point. Now, he's got to be surrounded by a good team. He's got to be surrounded by quality players. They do need to give him some playmakers on offense, and I am getting a little concerned about the offensive line. Andre Dillard's supposed to be the guy to take over for Jason Peters. He's going to have to take that next step. I think you got to move on from Jason Peters just because of the salary situation. However, There's some serious thought that they may give him one more year. Brandon Brooks coming back from another major injury that he was playing out of his mind. Lane Johnson still at the top of his game. Jason Kelce was an all-pro center this year. Not Pro Bowl, all-pro center this year. So you got to surround them with the right talent, and I think sky's the limit, but we shall see. Sixers, on the other hand, there's some concern for me right now because of Ben Simmons' health. I thought when he was healthy that they were potentially a first-round exit or a first-round win and a deep run, and I didn't know. It could have gone either way. Without him, I don't see any chance this team wins in the playoffs. Flyers are on a roll. Trade deadline's tomorrow. Your thoughts on all of that? 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The Fanatic.
545 975 The Fanatic. Rob Motti. 610-632-0975. We got so much to talk about today with the Sixers and the Flyers, the two teams who are one who is on a roll, the other one who's got some legit concerns right now. I don't know how significant Ben Simmons' injury is, and if it's such that he's going to be out an extended period of time, this team to me has no chance. He's their most indispensable player. He's the guy they can't replace. Now, could they find a way to change their style of play and go old school basketball and have to put Joel Embiid down in a low post and have him attack, kick out when he gets doubled, because he will. Jay Rich got to step up his game. Tobias Harris has to step up his game. Al Horford has to step it up. Al Horford last night, 1-for-7, 1-for-6 from three. Off the bench, $109 million to shoot 6 3-pointers in a game where Ben Simmons only played 5. A lot of concern with the way they played last night. However, it was Milwaukee, the best team in the East, on the road against the best player, the reigning MVP, Giannis, the Greek Freak, who he goes all out. He dominates night in and night out. And we had Joel Embiid last night go 5-for-18. I came on Friday and heaped excessive praise, abundant praise upon Joe for his performance against the Brooklyn Nets, for the way he played, going all out for 41 minutes and 6 seconds without Ben Simmons, 39-16, 18-for-19 at the foul line, clutch free throws at the end of regulation, blocked the shot to send it into overtime at the end of regulation. Got some clutch hoop buckets from Alec Burks in overtime, and they won that game. Then they go to Milwaukee, and I didn't know what he'd have left in the tank. I didn't know if he'd go out there and be the best player in the world, as he said he is, or if he'd go out there and be tired a little bit, maybe be a little bit lackadaisical, lethargic, not have it. And he went out there last night, 5-for-18. Afterwards, he said he didn't have the attitude that he needed to have. Well, what is that attitude? And why not have? Why didn't he have that attitude? But he's far from the only reason why they lost last night. Even with a healthy Ben Simmons, they probably would have lost last night the way Milwaukee played. And I was on the air for 2 hours yesterday saying I thought they'd keep it close. And then before we went off, Joe Stazak said they get smoked, and I said I think they're going to find a way to steal a win. They didn't even come close. They didn't even come close. 119-98, and it was a very disturbing performance from Horford, from Joel, from Tobias, from Jay Rich, from everybody, everyone but Furkan and Shake Milton. Sixers are now 9-20. 9-20 on the road. You're going to have to win on the road to win in the playoffs. And that certainly looks more and more difficult because if Ben Simmons is out, and we don't know. If you missed it, Ben Simmons played 5 minutes, re-aggravated a lower back injury. According to reports, he was supposed to have an MRI today, and then reports came out that today he was ruled out for tomorrow and will need further evaluation. The fact that he needs further evaluation, to me, suggests that what they saw wasn't minor, wasn't a insignificant injury. But I don't know, and I don't want to speculate too much. I just want to say that if he is out, they're in trouble.
So, Rob, you mentioned the road splits, and of course, barring, you know, Ben Simmons, of course.
Yeah.
And this is the only thing that gives me any kind of hope, is the fact that if you look at the East outside of the Milwaukee Bucks and the Raptors to a lesser extent, everybody stinks on the road this year. Like, all of their road records, not nearly as bad as 9-27, or 9-20, excuse me, but they're, you know, they're 12-18, 13-17. So someone is going to have to separate themselves from the pack in order to make a run in the playoffs. That's the only thing that I have hope for, is that all of these teams have been pretty bad on the road. Maybe the Sixers can be the one.
Yeah, other than the top three, Milwaukee, terrific, right? 22-5 away. Toronto, 19-8 away. And then Boston's got, they're 16-11, and they're giving the Lakers a run right now on the road. But like you said, Miami's, they got a losing record. They're 13-17 on the road. Sixers are 9-20 on the road. The other two playoff teams right now, 7-8 seed, they're both losing teams, but they also, the Nets 10-17 and the Magic 9-18. Sixers are worse than the Magic on the road. How about that? Pacers are right there, 500, 14-13. Sixers are going to have to find a way to win on the road. And I thought with Ben healthy, if he comes back and he's healthy, if Ben and Joel play like they did against the Clippers, if the team plays like it did against the Clippers, home or away, they can beat anybody. We've seen them play at the highest, most elite level. With the addition of Burks and Glenn Robinson, I was excited to see what they could do. I was excited to see what this team, if they can come together. But here's the concern, Tyler. So now you get the two new players. They play a couple games. You got the new lineup. Al Horford coming off the bench. And before you get a chance to see if this team can gel, you lose your key player. You lose a guy like Ben Simmons. So let's hope. Best case scenario, he's only out a couple games, right? Say he's only out this week. So then he comes back next week, and now you're going to play against the Clippers and the Lakers, and it's really going to be just their second time, really their first. Because in the Clippers game, that was the first time Burks, Robinson, and all of them played together. So this would be their second time. Because after that, you had the All-Star break, you come back, Ben's out. Next game, he only plays 5 minutes. Now if he sits out this week, it'll be their second time together in an important game against the Clippers and then the Lakers. So my concern is, even if it's just it's a minor thing and he's back in a week and you hold him out now for precautionary reasons, you're still going to be trying to find a rhythm together, trying to find chemistry together as a team. So there's really no way to look at this and just dismiss it as it's insignificant. I think it's going to have ramifications, whether it's even going to just prevent them from the fourth seed because he's out for a little bit of time and he comes back and they struggle. Well, then they're going to have to start out as a five, and now they got to win on the road. So I look at this and I go, man, it's a tough, tough spot to see what happened. Tyler, I put this out earlier. I want you to mull it over. Two things. One, I want to get your beautiful sports moment when we come back. And two, I asked the callers, I put it out there, do you think if Ben is out the rest of the way, this could give Elton Brand and the front office a reason to justify bringing Brett Brown back and say that he didn't have his full complement of players, he was missing his star point guard, and therefore we want to give him one more opportunity. So I want to hear what you have to say about that when we come back. I also want to hear from everyone out there. 610-632-0975. We got open lines for you. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.